Father, I speak right now. Every stupor spirit that has affected our hearing, be canceled out in Jesus' name. I right now speak the impartation of the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom so that the word of God will have free flow into our hearts. I speak into every ear here that they will hear the voice of the shepherd. For the shepherd says, my sheep hear my voice. Let the voice come through. Every blockage, distraction, be canceled out in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak wisdom that's from above, the help of the Holy Spirit. Right now, fill everyone in a special way this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Today I want to do three things. First of all, I want to have a quick run of the message. And then I want to do an overview of Paul's ministry so that you see the big picture. And then I'm supposed to cover chapter 21, 22, and 23. So this will be the forward. And then I will try to outline to you the whole plan so that you see the big picture. It's very important to understand the big picture. Not just look at the trees, but also to know where the forest is. Now, first of all, you have got your notes, I believe, here. I want to highlight what is the key ideas, and then I'm going to, so that when I preach, you know I'm covering what I've given you in your notes. All right. So today we are going to be talking about three chapters, but the opening word starts from verse 22 of chapter 20. The chapter 20, verse 22, basically sums up the vision for the next, about five years that will be ahead. So, if you are talking about, remember every time you read the Bible, I say you need to know where, when, and what. So, the first thing is where. So, if you got your maps, always check your maps when you are talking about. So, we have spoken about the first route. The first route that Paul says here, chapter 13, talks about this route, a short little circle. The second visit basically is in Europe, this part. The storyline is in Europe. That will be from chapter 15 onwards. And then chapter 18 highlights only one important city called Ephesus. Okay, that's the main target. And of course, he traveled up this way and back. But his main target, second visit, Ephesus. Third visit is now completing by chapter 20. He has gone, second visit was Europe. Last visit mainly focused on Ephesus. Finished his third trip, he's now preparing for the last trip, which is this long trip. Can you see? Long, long route all the way to Rome. This is the longest route, which will be from chapter 20, second half, right up to the end of the book of Acts. This would be full of action, this last one. So, we now, today, will consider his starting point. And the starting point is from Jerusalem. Okay? Why is this important? Because three trips, he has finished his job. Basically, 15 years, he has finished his job. The season is over. He's now on the way home to start his last trip, which is this long one. Okay, can you see? To Rome. Now, so Ephesus is the one that, thanks. Ephesus is the one that is the last message, and that's Acts chapter 20. All right, so this is where we are talking about. Now, when you... So chapter 20, the last part, basically announces the beginning of what Paul is saying is he's going to face in the future. Okay, so he hasn't embarked on this last journey yet, this fourth journey, his last journey. But he wanted, so I want to highlight why at this beginning, what is the secret of the reason why he's finished well. Okay, he finished well. The idea is, in my sermon here, keyword, finishing well. It involves overcoming hardships. So the key word here for finishing well is the word, but none of these things move me. So if you've got your notes, underline this. This is my key words for today. None of these things move me. It's what I call the golden standard for courage. None of these things move me. What things? We are going to talk about that. Okay. Now, so I won't be going through these notes, but I just give you the guideline here so that when I preach, you know, you can underline all these keywords here. So none of these things move me establishes what we call the gold standard for Christian service. Okay. You can see, can you see? I call it the gold standard because God has to tell us what is the gold standard so that we know, well, what is the optimum God wants for us to face. So, and finishing well. So you see this word happening again. There's word that I might finish my race. Okay, underline the word finish my race. That will be the second phrase you need to remember for today. How to finish your race. The race that God has set for you. So, verse 22 of Acts 20 is the starting explanation of Paul's attitude for the next phase that he's going. He doesn't know what the next phase is going to be like, so he says this. After announcing, I've finished my three trips for Asia, for Europe, I've finished that job already, it's now over. The season is over. So now, see now. So what is Paul saying here? Now, you Ephesian elders, I want you to understand what's going to happen into the future. You see, one of the things God's word tells us is how to prepare for the future. Because everything cannot be just looking at the past. Last week, we looked at what is past. Past. For instance, Paul said, "Well, the first day I came to Asia, I came with great humility and many, many tears. I wept so often because of the plotting of the Jews against me. I came to you in humility from the first day. But now, what I've done is I've taught you in groups publicly and I've taught you individually in your homes. I held back nothing that was profitable to you. Many times I've been thinking about what is good for you, and I never held back anything that was profitable that will help you in your journey. I held back nothing. That's the past now. Now, the future. The future now, I want you to understand what is going to happen ahead. And this is the way I've prepared my heart. So if you don't know what the future holds, Of course we don't know what the future holds. The only thing we know is we know who holds the future. So you and I cannot keep on looking back. So the lesson from chapter 20 to 21, 22, all the way to the end, is to tell us how to prepare our hearts for the race. So the key word is, so Edon means understanding the spiritual significance of what lies ahead. So this is one of the things you and I always must prepare our hearts. We don't know what the future holds, but we need to prepare our hearts. So he's talking about hardships. God said, what I do know is I'm going to face hardships. That's NIV. NIV is hardships. It says tribulation. It means not hardships created by myself. He's talking about hardships other people will impose upon me that will cause, will try to hinder my work, make my work difficult. There'll be hardships. But none of these things move me. So he talks about hardships. But it's called external pressure is going to come. That for sure. Then we know that it's about our attitude. You see, especially young people, your future is assured if now your attitude is the correct one. If you venture out with the correct attitude, you will succeed no matter what happens. That goes for every believer in Christ. Everything will end well, provided you have prepared your heart. In my notes, I give you, Paul determined his future. You know that our future is actually determined by us. Of course, God is the one who will give the future, will shape the future. But God cannot shape our future unless we decide, that is the future I want. If you didn't decide that, you will not finish well. So, that's why, you know, one of the songs I like very much is, I like this song that was sung in the Olympics. You know this song by Whitney Houston in the Korean Olympics? I know some people say this is a secular song. In this song, that made it to the charts later on, but first time it was sung by Whitney Houston, says, the answer's all up to me. In a way, it's true. It's all up to you. Because God cannot do anything if you did not decide the way Paul decided. And we know that success comes always on, we talk about the moment of time. Because everything that we do is based on every the moments of experiences with God. He says, I'm racing with destiny. That's true. God has got destiny for you. And you are racing toward God's destiny. Well, this secular song may mean something else, but God has a destiny, a good destiny. So you need to know what is the destiny if I adopt the same mentality. But ultimately, I like this song because it says, I feel eternity. You know, you need to have a feel of eternity in your soul. If all you see is just everyday living, hard, earning a living, making money, pay bills, I say to you, you do not feel eternity in your spirit. You need to feel eternity in the spirit because that is what really counts. Now, so Paul says, above all, the key thing is we will face intimidation. If you live for God, you see, Satan always push back. They'll be in a form of intimidation. Can be dangers, can be problems, but basically they are all intimidation to stop us from serving God, from giving to God the very best. And
The world talks about giving the best. Yeah, but we have to do it in spite of intimidation. But you need to know one thing, I haven't got in the notes. Every intimidation that you overcome, every problem that we face, that God allows us to face, leads us to our destiny. Leads us to our destiny, our future, our success. And but the key word Paul sums up in this attitude, if you want to sum up, I would say, none of these things move me. I'm not going to allow any intimidation or hardships to move me. That is a key word that I want you to remember. Paul wrote to Corinthians after he talked about the resurrection. He said this, that the command not to be moved is God's command. It's not an option. So Paul concluded when he wrote to Corinthians, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That means whatever you do will count for eternity. But you have to overcome this intimidation. The key words will be imprisonment. That will be quite bad. The worst case, hostility, mob violence. People don't agree. These are some things Paul was going to encounter. Then your notes, the other word that resonates with none of these things that move me is the word courage. Actually, if you read later on, during this season, this next season that Paul was going to go into, God's command was, be of good cheer. That's an old English way of saying, be courageous. Do you know that calling us to be courageous is a command, not an option? Even to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, God said, be courageous. Be of good courage. That's a command, you know. The command to be courageous is not optional. In fact, at the end of the world, in Revelation 21:8, the first group that will not inherit it in eternal life are cowards. People who refuse to exercise courage, who give up. Cowards. Cowards will not inherit eternal life because the devil will manipulate them. So Paul chose courage long before he encountered intimidating circumstances. So now, when we talk about the next 10 years of your life, or 5 years, or 15 years, you have to begin with making up your mind now. Choose courage. It's a choice, you see. Every day is a choice. Choice to have courage. Then the other thing I want you to talk about finishing well is look at the gold standard. Gold standard is courage based on values of finishing well. Okay, what things did not deter him? We'll look at some of these things shortly, but mainly persecution. We look at this detail. I'll give you a bit more detail shortly. But false brothers would be a very common ones. People who don't understand what's going on or who have negative purposes, they may oppose us. Physical punishment would be one. Paul listed all the sufferings that he went through. And he says, none of these things move me. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 4 times I was beaten with 39 stripes. I was in hunger. By the way, Paul had to work to pay his own bills. He was a tent maker, so he did not get a salary. He worked for his own needs. But so hostile crowds is something that you have to be prepared for. But he says, at the end, okay, let's go quickly to the end. In 1 Corinthians, he talked about the imperishable crown. That's what he was looking for, forward to. So the weeks before he was executed, before he died, he wrote to Timothy and said, henceforth is laid out for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord has prepared for me. And not only for me, but for everyone who looks forward to his coming. Everyone who looks for that moment of time when Jesus will appear in the clouds. That moment of time, I will receive that imperishable crown. Now, that's because that's a crown reserved for faithful followers of Jesus. But unfortunately, if you ask every Christian, what do you think will happen when Jesus comes? Oh, Jesus will say to me, good and faithful servant. And my question is, what makes you think Jesus will tell you, good and faithful servant? Well, in this passage, we will learn that good and faithful servant is only for those who finish the race. So finishing the race is a condition. Right now, that the rest, you will have to go through it quite quietly. I mean, these those are details. But let me give you an overview so that you follow what we are talking about. You know, you have learned quite a lot, haven't you, about Paul. It all started with chapter 13. Chapter 13 was the first time Paul went out to preach the gospel. Okay, so I tried to make a case, a summary of what's happening. So from chapter 13 to chapter 20, the eight chapters, Paul finished everything in 15 years. He finished whatever he needed to do to preach to the Greeks, in particular non-Jews, and some Jews. Okay, he finished preaching. He covered, he established the churches. You see, there's a season in time when God allows you a window of opportunity. And you notice he always keep on moving. So from 13, you know he covered a small part of Asia. And so I make a sort of a sketch to what are some principles he worked on. By the time he was chapter 16, he was on his second round. That is Europe, right? So this is my what I call picture to illustrate. So first round Asia, second round Europe. So it's chapter 16, right? So this is my sketch, all right? But I think you all want something more colorful. So I say, okay. What was the principle for chapter 16? You see, all these are principles that he's demonstrated to us as to how to preach the gospel. Paul models for us how to be fruitful in our preaching. Because throughout the seven chapters, every time we preach, people believe. So when every time you preach, expect people to believe. How? So in chapter 16, Paul did what we call he practiced any three. Okay. So this is a more colorful presentation. He practiced any three. So Acts 16 was any three. So how did he practice any three? In so doing, he launched churches in Europe, beginning with Philippi. Okay. So what was the first thing? So we talk about power for opening doors. Every time we preach, sometimes we don't know where's the door. When will God open doors? No, sometimes God opened doors. But mostly you and I are supposed to open doors. Well, how did Paul open doors? First time he went to Europe, what did he do? He had power for opening doors is by prayer. He spoke to strangers, but he prayed before he spoke to strangers, talking to strangers. And what happened? He went to the riverside, and God was the one who opened the heart of one hearer. So God opened hearts. But we open the door by prayer. Can you see? Prayer is the key power for opening doors. So that's what we learned from chapter 16 in his second round in Europe. So he was a stranger, but he prayed. He shared the gospel. And then Lydia was the person. God opened her heart. God is in the business of opening hearts. But you and I have to pray and speak. And of course you can ask God to open hearts. But God opens hearts when we obey Him in taking the initiative of opening that door. Then chapter 16, he practiced any three by what? By delivering deliverance work. Jesus said you are supposed to. But before that, he prayed. The Bible says he prayed. He prayed all the time. So some of us say, I tried preaching. Oh, nobody wants to hear. Well, because we didn't pray. We have to keep on praying. So Paul prayed. And then although he was being harassed by this demonized girl, he, by the power of the Spirit, cast out that demon. So he exercised authority everywhere. So this is called the any three principle. He exercised it. So there was just on the way, he was harassed, but he, because he had been praying, then by the authority given, he exercised that spiritual authority. Do you know that every Christian is supposed to exercise this authority? Everyone who has been filled with the Spirit of God has this authority that he can make use of and exercise it. So, but he prayed. And so that his third case where he opened the door was for jailer and the family. This chapter 16. Try and remember these three cases. The jailer was the one who jailed him. He's a prisoner. But he prayed and he shared the gospel. He prayed and God opened the opportunity for him to share the gospel. It's just suddenly. You remember the prison was, doors were all open. There was an earthquake. But because he prayed. You see, the problem, a lot of Christians try to escape, bypass prayer. It won't work. It doesn't work. Okay. So, even though in prison, he prayed. Then, he had the chance to share the gospel. So, these are three situations practicing what we call any three. Anywhere, anyone, and any time. So that is chapter 16 we have covered. Chapter 17, I don't have a picture. I've shown you the pictures where Paul talked to what? Non-people without background, idol worshippers. And he shared seven things about God because he recognized that in Athens, he was still in Europe, by the way. Chapter 16, he was in Europe. Chapter 17, he was still in Europe. Here, there was, first part 16, he was a place called Philippi. But now, 17, the place changed to Athens. Okay, in Athens, how did Paul preach? Paul shared seven things, and I showed you some pictures already. All these pictures are with your net leaders. If you are preaching, you can use those. But the seven things to demonstrate what God is like. He made a case. In chapter 17, he made a case of who God is like. And this, I've shown you some pictures already 2 weeks ago. So this is chapter 16. Now, all this share with us how we are to preach the gospel. Then in chapter 17, I've already talked to you. He made a case for to the Greek aristocrats, the elite people, explaining how you can know and recognize God. All right. Then chapter 18, last week, Andy shared with us about, he focused on chapter 20, chapter 18, okay, Roland was the one who shared with us. But I want to go quickly into chapter 19. In chapter 19, what you have learned is that the issue is, what difference does it make with the Holy Spirit? Every time we serve God, we have to do it with the power of the Spirit. All right. We need to tap into the power of the Spirit. It's available for us. So in chapter 19, now chapter 18, first half, is still in Europe. Okay. Chapter 18, first half, is in Europe. Second half, he has moved to the third journey. Okay, just remember, these journeys are important because it tells you, for each journey, he did different things to share the gospel. I already said, first journey, Asia. Second journey, up to chapter 18, it was Europe. Now, second half of chapter 18 and 19 is focused on Ephesus, the capital of the province of Asia. And chapter 19, we are supposed to have covered many weeks back, is about Ephesus. Focus Ephesus. So we learn how he did his evangelism and primarily his equipping for 2 years in Ephesus. And so Ephesus was the key place he went to on his third round. All right. Yeah, he went to several places, but the main action was in Ephesus. So in Ephesus, what do we learn? Okay, three cases. We learn three cases. I'm summarizing what you're supposed to have learned already. Case one, in chapter 19, Paul laid hands because he discovered some disciples did not get filled with the Holy Spirit. They are disciples, meaning they have believed, but they have not received the Holy Spirit's anointing for power. That's why every Christian needs to receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Two baptisms. One is water baptism, to declare your separation from sin and your allegiance to Jesus. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is different. So in the first thing Paul did when he came to Ephesus was to help 12 disciples who did not yet have been filled. So he laid hands. He taught them and then he laid hands on them. This is what we do in our spiritual formation. And you need to receive the Holy Spirit. And here the Bible describes that the disciples were filled and they were. Paul spent his time equipping them. And here the Bible describes when they were filled, they spoke with a prayer language of what we call tongues or spiritual language. And Paul then equipped with them 2 years, every day. using a public premises. They didn't have a church building. Every day for 2 years, Paul was teaching, equipping the people. Took time to learn, took time to be equipped. Every day. That means after working hours, they will come and they will learn. And because of what he did in Ephesus, because time used for equipping, the result was whole of Asia heard the gospel. Not everybody believed, but everybody received the message. Because everyone in the church in Ephesus went out preaching. They were skilled and they were obedient. Asia heard gospel. The whole of Asia, what we call today, we call it Turkey. The whole of Turkey heard the gospel. So this case one in chapter 19. There was a case two in chapter 19 is that those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul demonstrates that when we are filled with the Spirit, how do we exercise this supernatural power? So you see cases like diseases were healed, the devils flee, God worked, gospel grew. So you read things like Paul performing miracles. Do you know every Christian filled with the Spirit is able to perform some kind of miracles? But for Paul's case, he did some extraordinary miracles. That means, I know most of you say, oh, but miracles are already extraordinary. No, in God's plan, miracles are ordinary. Ordinary. You are supposed to perform miracles. But he did extra. Extraordinary means he, when people bring a handkerchief to him, he just lay hands, prayed over the handkerchief, and this person brings it home, put it on the face of the sick person, and the guy get healed. Now, that is pretty powerful, right? That's a bit extraordinary. So I don't know whether you tried practicing praying over handkerchief, asking put it on somebody's face. Well, maybe you haven't done it, right? But this is a bit extra. Paul did extraordinary. And because Paul exercised this, the gospel grew. That means people believed. The Bible, in the book of Acts, every time they preached the gospel, people believed. Because they believe that the gospel is powerful. But there's one thing that Paul did that time was he went around casting out demons. You know, this is supposed to be ordinary. Ordinary, casting out demons. And that's part of the job scope, okay, for every believer. But then chapter 19 also gives case 3. I hope you remember all this because these are models for us to follow when we preach the gospel. Case 3 was the 7 sons of Sceva. They were unbelievers and they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They did not get filled with the Holy Spirit and they did not believe, but they enjoyed doing exorcism. And so one day when they saw Paul casting out demons, so he imitated, they imitated the Paul and used the name of Jesus and Paul. So imitation is very dangerous. Christians who doesn't know how to move in the power of the Spirit is also in danger because some spiritual forces or darkness can attack anytime, anywhere. That's why you and I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is no way demonic spirits can invade. You'll never go crazy. And you'll never be controlled by demonic spirits. And you shouldn't fear evil spirits. So, they, 7 sons, had no Holy Spirit. And they tried to cast out demons. Oh, it's a dangerous thing. The Bible says they were attacked and they were wounded. And they had to run out of the house naked and bleeding. So what we say here, chapter 19 tells you that you really need to depend on the Holy Spirit. You need to respect the Holy Spirit. You need to honor the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. So chapter 19 is about Holy Spirit. So can you remember this? Because once sweep through, you say, I've finished book of Acts. Well, what do you remember? So chapter 19, remember, what do you do? Holy Spirit infilling for miracles. So this is what you and I are supposed to do. Then come to chapter 20. Chapter 20, basically, he has finished the job. And so let's look at what it says. Then I want to expound on this passage as quickly as I can. So chapter 20, we have already covered most of it, but I just want to highlight that the part that begins, verse 22, all right. Now, verse 22, you have got this, this is a starting point for his last journey, the last journey, okay. This last journey begins here in verse 22. So he says, now I go bound in the Spirit, or NIV says, I'm compelled with the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. This is something God was doing, because his last journey has to begin from Jerusalem. Okay? And he says, not knowing this, the things that will happen to me there. So from verse 22, signals the start of this last journey. None of these things move me. So the important thing, first of all, in this journey is that you begin with a choice. Every journey has to begin with a choice, especially the last journey. So this is my case making. All right. This is my sketch. Paul laid hands. Sorry, this is another one. Okay, why do I go direct to it? Okay. First of all, Paul says here, none of these things move me. And what do I focus on? I count my life, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race. So his focus was finishing the race. So my outline here shows you is about finishing the race. So Paul is talking about finishing the race. And this, you see, in the next phase of your life, you have to decide whether this is what you want to do. But finishing the race would be the most important part. Okay, just look at the top part. The key words is none of these things move me. A choice. So I'm asking you today to make a choice for the next phase of your walk with God. Do you say or agree that none of these things move me? I've decided I will not allow circumstances to shift my goal. What goal? Finishing the great race. We are all, if you are born again, you are belonging to Jesus. You are in a race. And this race is not just the running race. It's an obstacle race. There are obstacles along the way that you need to overcome. But God will lead you to a destiny if you just make up your mind, step one, finishing the great race God has set before me. The Bible says, Paul says, that God has set before me. This is a race every Christian is on. I don't know whether you realize it or not. We are not on a holiday vacation. We are on a race. It's an obstacle race. That means every step there will be obstacles. But if you finish the race, you follow what God wants us to do, you will end up at our destiny. We all have a good destiny. But many will lose it if you don't begin with this decision. So what are the things that he's talking about? He's talking about hardships. Hardships. Well, these hardships are not sickness. All reject sickness. If you are sick, every time reject it. If you are not well, always come to church. You can wear a mask when we pray for you. The place to go when you are not well is to come to church. This is where we'll pray for you. But hardships here is not talking about your personal unwellness. It's talking about external pressure people will impose upon you. Now, the requirement is that we must run all. Running halfway is not counted. It's better not to run at all if you're going to run halfway. God says only those who finish the race gets a reward. Okay. There are two kinds of finishing, two kinds of races. Here we are talking about races for believers. That you are making a choice to reach the finishing line. So to reach the finishing line, you must run all. So that's a choice you have to make now. That I'm going to finish my race with Jesus. I don't leave it to like some songs say, whatever will be, will be. Whatever will be, will be. Hey, whatever will be, you'll not finish. Whatever is going to happen, I'll finish this race. Paul says, I do not even count my life dear to myself. So that if only, this is the one way the KJV put it, I like it. If only I can finish the race. If only I can finish. That's all that matters to me. I need to finish this race. But if I don't finish this race, what will happen? Firstly, you'll get nothing. If you are a true believer, you'll get nothing. But what about those who did not prepare himself, unprepared runners? What do? They give up. Those who did not prepare his mind will give up. I don't know, you guys, what you do for your exercise. 3 times a week, I'll go to the stadium, the running track, and I've been running since my NS days. I also did NS, you know, young guys. I also did NS. I was first batch. So I was a swimmer in school. So on land, I didn't like running. But when you're on NS, you better run because a lion will be chasing behind and they will push you. And I still remember we always fear one of the officers, when they take us for running at 5 a.m. every morning, he will come in, and when we heard who is taking us for the run, and one morning, one of the guys asked the sergeant, the in charge, hey, who's taking our run? He says, Ajit Singh. He said, Aya, Ajit Singh, Singapore running champion. So every time he take you, run. He say, I'm running very slow, but to us, it's super speed. And we all, and we puff. And we'll go all the way in from Safti to Tuas. Now, you know, Tuas is industrial, but in those days, we'll run in the darkness. And everything, we have fear and trembling. We hear Ajit Singh, we're scared because he was a champion runner. But we all always finish. No matter how fast this guy run, we still finish. You know why? Because we got no choice. If you don't finish, then you go for extra running lesson. And so we never give up on. So there's one thing in NS, guys, you never give up. No matter how hard. We already made our mind that we cannot give up. So this is people who do not give up are people who... But people who are unprepared will give up. Because you have not decided that you won't give up. So I remember one day as an officer cadet, I had to do a long march from Changi Point to Safti, one end of Singapore, the other. And I must make sure I don't use the road. I must walk through jungle paths and so on. By the time I go halfway, my leg was, knee joint was so painful. But I have to make it. You know, it's very strange. When you made up your mind that you'll finish, no matter how pain it is, you still finish. That's why this is very important. But those who will not finish, so can you see these two crisscrosses? I'm talking about the alternative, those who did not finish the race. What will happen? What will cause them? It's always by pressure. So sometimes we are pressured by others. You know, Paul, when he wrote, John, when he wrote, he says, do not lose your reward. You lose your reward, don't let others take your reward. Actually, don't let others offend you, and then you'll miss your reward. The important thing is, at the end, I have my rewards as a faithful servant. Cares can block me. Temptations along the way. Pleasure can also distract me. So this guy never finished. So, you know, those who never finish the race, what do they get? Nothing. But Paul used one word. He said, I also discipline myself. I buffet my body. I make sure I finish the race. Because after I've preached to others, I don't want to be disqualified. But you know, the Bible says, here this passage is talking about rewards. But Dr. Luke also wrote something else in an earlier passage for those who adopt the attitude of just giving up. So he says here about, let me see here, about the, okay. He talks about the narrow way. Now, the Lord, this is the Lord's teaching. Some people, because they have not decided even to follow Jesus, don't even have decided to follow Jesus. Don't talk about running the race, about following Jesus. Jesus says this. Okay. Someone asked, one of them said to Jesus, Lord, are there few who are saved? Now, even being salvation is also a journey. Of course, just now the passage we're talking about is running the race for believers already. But even believers has another race that to make sure he get to heaven, so to speak. Is it that few will be saved? And the Lord warned here. He says, strive through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter. Will seek to enter where? Of course, heaven, into eternal life. Will not be able. So, some want to get into heaven. Now, even for salvation, this is another case the Lord is talking about. Even for salvation, some will not make it. Because here, this case is about being saved from hell. So, some will not make it, Jesus said. Not everyone will make it. Because when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door. So, there's a heaven has doors. I don't know whether you know this. He'll shut the door. And you begin to stand outside and knock the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I don't know you. I don't know where you are from. I don't know you. This is the saddest part for people who did not complete the journey of faith. Okay. So there's a race to be run and a journey of faith to be completed. These two are parallel. Both journeys must be completed. Then you begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all workers of iniquity. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. That means you'll have an opportunity to see, he's referring to the great banquet. All true believers are invited to. And at that banquet, you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the prophets, Elijah, Samuel, all these great guys. You'll be meeting them at the great banquet. But he says, you'll be thrust out because you did not keep your journey of faith. And they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. People from all over the world will be there, those who truly believe. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there will be first who will be last. Here, in this particular case, talking about salvation. So, even the journey of faith, you also need to make up your mind that you'll continue. You'll never give up your faith in Jesus. So there are two decisions you need to make this morning if you want to finish well. First, you need to finish well that I will never give up my walk with Jesus. I'll never give up my faith. I'll finish my faith journey. I need fellow travelers. I make every effort. That's why every Sunday you make time to hear the Word of God. That helps to add energy for you to finish the journey of faith. But earlier on in chapter 20, it talks about the attitude to finish the race. That is for every true believer. You need to finish the race. So I don't have time to explain, but from chapter 21 onwards, you see 5 times Paul had to make a case for his faith. But next journey that Paul is going to do is preaching to people with kings, because God told them that he will appear before kings. And you see how he speaks to kings and authorities. That's why the case making in the next 7 chapters are very interesting. I don't have time to go into it this morning. But because Paul made this decision that I'll finish well, I'll finish the race no matter what. So we know at the end, Paul finished very well. He finished so well that God put more than half this book of Acts under Paul's training for us. So, is this what you want to do? You are in a great race? Or are you in a faith journey? Some Christians just don't take time. They have no time for church and worship. This is Sunday, I want to make money. A little bit not comfortable, I don't come to church. I got to travel here, I got to travel there. They are not diligent to make time to learn what are the principles. So we are in a great race. Can you finish? Can you finish? Is finishing the great race important for you? Word of God say, only those who finish gets a reward. Don't lose it. That's a great reward. But if you are started in your journey of faith, then you also need to finish your great journey of faith. Because for those who do not finish the journey of faith, will not enter into the kingdom of God. So there are 2 decisions you need to take. I'll follow Jesus all the way. I'll never give up my faith in Jesus. I'll trust him. I'll trust him for every aspect of my life. I'll trust him for the money I want to give as an offering. I'll trust him to be a good worshiper. I'll trust him to help me so that I will worship with the others, those who are called to be in his kingdom. I will make time to make sure I finish my race. Is that your decision today? If so, what do you tell God? Can all of us be quiet a moment right now? I want you to be quiet. And I want you to just tell God, what is your decision? Very simple. It only takes 30 seconds. What's your response? The two journeys to be made. One, finishing the journey of faith. Second, to run the race. Because it's an obstacle race. It'll be tough. But every obstacle is given to direct us to our destiny. Can you trust God for that? Only those who finish the race get a prize. Is that prize something of value to you? If so, just tell God, this is what you want. Shall we all stand for that benediction? Quickly. Father, we recognize that you have set for before us a race. And you have told us that we are to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. Even our Lord Jesus had to run the race, and he finished it. Thank you for Paul's example, how he faced hardships, but he finished the race. So Lord, for those of us who are really committed, you know we have decided we'll finish the race no matter what. So I pray for everyone who have chosen this path, that Holy Spirit, you will lead and go ahead for them. And there are friends here, Lord, who need to decide to finish the journey of faith, that Lord, he too will also succeed. Lord, we know that it all depends on us, our decision. But we know that when we decide to do so, your Spirit leads us and empower us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you'll be there for us when we have made our decision. Thank you for the assurance that there'll be power by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.